In this morning's gospel, we have the story of our Lord cleansing the temple, how he overturned tables piled high with coin and treasure, how he opened up the pens of the livestock and drove them out. We have a very in-your-face Jesus concerned with zeal for his Father's house. Now, last week, you'll recall, I spoke on Lent as a journey, the need for us to all be making continual progress in our spiritual life. 2 weeks ago, we touched on prayer, one of the traditional Lenten disciplines, and things since almsgiving is also one of those disciplines held out to us by the prayer book, I'm going to take this story of the cleansing of the temple and use it as a peg, as a hook, to talk about how you and I relate to our treasure and to our wealth. Now, someone has wisely pointed out that our Lord speaks about 1 in every 10 of his words about our relationship to our possessions. Jesus talks about things and money and wealth more than he talks about love, more than he talks about peace, more even than he talks about the kingdom of God. And elsewhere in the Gospels, Jesus has this to say about wealth. This is part of the Gospel for Good Friday, and we'll hear it again in a few weeks. Jesus says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consume, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Now, I suspect that it's easy for us to disregard Jesus' teaching on wealth and treasure. After all, he didn't own anything. He died broke. From cradle to grave, everything that he had was borrowed. He was born in a borrowed manger. He lived under the mentorship of a borrowed dad. He rode into Jerusalem on a borrowed colt. He hosted the Last Supper in a borrowed room. He died naked on the cross. He was buried in a borrowed tomb. So I can see why people are skeptical about his teaching, about treasure. He had nothing. St. Paul says that even though Christ was God, he emptied himself and gave it up for all for our sake. He had nothing. He was born into nothing. He died with nothing. So I can understand hesitancy. But answer me this. Was there ever, has there ever, been a life more successful than his? Has there been any person more significant than him? Has there been any movement more widespread than the church? Jesus has wisdom for us, wisdom on how you and I should relate to the material things in our life. And just think for a moment of all those things that we have. There's our house, which represents our worldly possessions, all our furniture, our family, our life, our lifestyle. They're all behind the door of that house. We have a car, most of us do, which represents to us freedom, the ability to go where we please and when we please. Some of us have keys to the workplace. Our livelihood, the way we maintain our lifestyle. Perhaps a boat, perhaps a summer home. How are we to regard all of these treasures. Now, in the Christian tradition, as you know, there are people that have taken everything they had and thrown it away. And I don't think any of us is going to do that. So how do we regard these treasures? And Jesus has three in-your-face things to say about how we interact with our wealth. Number one, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal. What Jesus is saying is that all of our treasures are subject to a process of disintegration and corruption. Given time, all of these things will fall apart. If you park a car in a driveway for 25 years, it will fall apart. If you don't do home repairs, your home will fall apart. Everything we have in this life is subject to disintegration. This is called the law of entropy. Things that are in order over time gradually become disordered. Mountains over time erode, wear down. And that's true of our bodies as well. I was looking through the pictorial directory the other day. I think we did that in 2004. Well, guess what? You've changed. And so have I. The truth is that we cannot stay young forever. We're subject to a disease called TMB, too many birthdays. Everything is in a process of disintegration. Moths go for the fabric. Rust goes for the metal. And if not these two, thieves will steal. And Jesus is saying that if you put your trust in these things, you are bound to be disappointed and dissatisfied. These things make promises that they cannot deliver. We know this. You know this intellectually. But so often, we live in denial until the end of our lives when it becomes, oh, so please. The second thing that our Lord says is instead of putting our trust in these kind of treasures, instead of investing eternal value in perishable things, build up treasure in heaven where moth and rust do not consume and where thieves do not break in and steal. You know that in heaven, everything is real and solid and permanent. I was talking last Wednesday in the adult class, and I was talking about Aristotle and St. Thomas Aquinas and how they made the point that everything on earth is a copy of the real thing, which is in heaven. And Jesus is saying that we don't put our trust in these things down here, which are imperishable. We put our trust in those things up there that are eternal. Now that all sounds very religious, but it has a practical application. Do you remember when Jesus fed the 5,000? Actually, that's next Sunday's gospel. He tells the disciples to gather up everything that is left over. We might say that Jesus is the chief economist. Nothing that is given to Jesus is ever lost. No prayer is ever lost. No gift is ever lost. No service is ever lost. No praise is ever lost. No ministry is ever lost. Nothing given to Jesus is ever lost. He stores it up for us and he allows us to use it. And some of you know what I'm talking about here. Think of the traumas of your life. Think of those difficult times that you've gone through. Remember that during those times of pain and turmoil and disorder, there was underneath it all, perhaps very faintly, but there nonetheless, a corresponding peace. There was something that carried you through that suffering. You look back and you don't know how you got through that, but you did. And you don't know how you got from there to here, but you did. It was your investment. It was that prayer and joy and worship that you invested in God at an earlier time that carried you through. So don't store up for yourselves treasures here. Store them up there, and they will carry you through. The third thing that Jesus says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I find that an astounding comment. There is a one-to-one correlation between what we believe and what we become. What we treasure is what we will be transformed into. Where your treasure is, there's where your heart is also. So be sure you invest in the right thing. So that's the 1, 2, 3 about possessions. As I said, over the centuries, many Christians have thrown all of these things away. They said, look, it's not worth the danger of these things. And they tossed it all. They lived in caves and monasteries and so on. Now, for most of us, that's not practical. But there is a better way. I want to get to it by finishing up today with a story. I went to a conference some years ago. The priest got up and he told this story. I remember it very clearly. It seems that his parish sold Christmas trees to make money. Now, Christmas trees are probably the least stable, rapidly deteriorating commodity on the planet. The growers work all year. They make their money in 3 weeks and then it's over. So anyway, the priest of this parish went one day to collect the parish's share of profits, and he went into the smoke-filled trailer that served as the office of the Christmas tree guy, and there were photos all along the walls of his operation. And as he and the priest were talking, the Christmas tree man were talking about how he worked so hard all year growing the trees and pruning them and fertilizing them, and how he supplied over 30,000 trees to that particular area. He went on and on and on and on, and finally said, you know, Father, if it wasn't for people like me, you wouldn't have a Christmas. The priest stood back and said, if it wasn't for Jesus, you wouldn't have a job. Now, that story, which is probably true, tells us how we ought to regard our treasure. So many people look at all of the things in their lives, and you and I, everyone in this room, is in the richest 1% of the world's population. We look at all this stuff in our lives and we say, if it wasn't for me, I wouldn't have an education. If it wasn't for me, I wouldn't have a car. If it wasn't for me, I wouldn't have a house, a job. And Jesus today is telling us to cleanse the temple, to look at things a little differently, to look at all the treasures of our life and say, you know, if it wasn't for Jesus, I wouldn't have my car. If it wasn't for Jesus, I wouldn't have my job. If it wasn't for Jesus, I wouldn't have my house. If it weren't for him and his grace and favor and love, I wouldn't have anything. Because my treasure is not here, my treasure is there. And that's how you and I enjoy all the things that God has given us, but not be held in bondage by them. Not to be in love with them. If it weren't for the grace and favor of God, I wouldn't have any of it.